This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This ball, speaking of long balls, deep center field, way back, and gone! Connor Jarrell, welcome back to the big leagues. His first career homer.
That was our guy, Drew Gooden, right? From the Rockies.
Goodman.
Goodman, yes, from the Rockies broadcast. Connor Joe is the newest San Diego Padre. If you're just tuning in, we welcome you back into Gwynn and Chris. 401 is the time. We should say that all of this is reported by MLB Network, John Heyman, and others. That I don't think the Padres themselves have released the information, but everybody seems to agree that Connor Joe, former Rocky, former Pirate, actually made his major league debut in San Diego as a Giant, and before that played at USD, and before that, Poway. He's probably in the high school Hall of Fame there with you, Tony.
I don't know if he's there yet.
He may not be there yet.
He may not be there,
but
he's on his way, though. Connor's, listen, I think he is, you've seen his growth in terms of his first time being in the league and where he's gotten to at this point. Had to beat cancer at one point. We had to miss a year.
Yes,
right around
did.
The COVID
He did.
Time.
He missed the COVID year.
And to see him kind of bounce back and create a lane for himself has been it's been fun to watch as a Powegian myself. And now, you know, he's going to come in and have an opportunity to kind of continue that path. What it looks like, I don't know. But he's certainly the type of pro I think the Padres want in their ball club.
None of us are saying that this is a stunning development that's going to change the course of history. But all of us are saying that we like the move.
Yeah.
It's a good addition. Connor Joe, especially hitting against lefties in a platoon type thing or off the bench, DHing, left field, first base. I don't think it's a bad pickup at all. A couple of other quick news items before we get to Chris versus the fan. Trey Mancini, Diamondbacks, agreed to a deal with him. And Chris Drury, infielder, joins the White Sox on a minor league contract. Couple more quick things. Congrats to Wade Boggs, the former batting champ.
Yeah.
And, kind of one of the guys that your dad, teamed up with, although Boggs was the American League version.
Yeah. Yep.
He had been going through some cancer, announces today that he is cancer free. So that is terrific news. And one more wide receiver for my all time favorite. 1972 Dolphins, Howard Twilley passed away today. Old-time Dolphin fans will remember that Twilley caught the first touchdown in Super Bowl VII, which was the game that completed Miami's perfect season. All right. With that, Scraby, on to Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you will be playing for a trip to Las Vegas, a grand prize. You're going into the qualifications.
Did we almost have a replay of its rating outside? It's real cool outside.
I just went. You're going to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas to see Motley Crue. They just announced a brand new Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM, March 28th to April 19th. You'll get two tickets to the show, plus a hotel stay at Park MGM, and you can also get your tickets if you're interested in the show. Motley Crue, the Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM, now at Ticketmaster.com. You know, I think I might... I never do something like this, but I think it would be fun if I was in Vegas to go see Motley Crue. I think that'd be kind of fun.
See if you can beat me and Chris versus the Fans, then.
I would.
They're your questions. You think you'd have a chance to win.
I probably wouldn't, honestly. The rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question would get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win if you're a first-time player. Let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that first question for free today.
And, we'll go absolutely crazy if you announce that you're a first-time player. That has somehow become a thing now.
Yes.
We don't have time. Let's go ahead. I was going to get into that, how it's become crazy. I don't think it's become crazy. I just noticed maybe this week that Chris isn't actually saying the same things we're saying. He's just kind of making noise.
All right.
He's just doing that. Right, we're like, hey, first time player.
We're first time player.
Chris is like, That's what I noticed for the first time this week. I don't know if he's been doing that the whole time, but
I don't know. All right, let's go back and listen.
Who's our first contestant?
Our first contestant today is going to be, I didn't screen them, but Nathaniel is the name on the caller ID. Hello, Nathaniel.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
It is Nathaniel.
Are you ready to play?
Very good.
Yeah, first-time player, I'm ready.
First-time player!
There we go. Scraby is banking on the first
two callers winning.
No, it's not?
I put some wrong questions in there.
All right, well, let's go with this one. What Fox analyst did Tom Brady take over for this season?
Greg Olson.
Would be correct, my friend. Correct.
I'll be honest with you. I would much rather Greg Olson do the game Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. The hate for Tom Brady is
it's not hate. It's just that I think Greg Olson does a better job.
What about a three-man booth? I've heard that being fancied about. I don't know if that was the right phrase.
There's no comment.
Never thought the three-man booth worked, except if it was Howard Cosell and Don Meredith, because they made so much fun of each other.
Who used to do Monday Night back in the day? That was a three-man crew.
Yeah, that was them. Howard and Don Meredith, and Frank Gifford was the straight man doing the play-by-play.
So he kept it on the rails.
Kept it on the rails. Dandy Don would go off the rails, and then Howard would come up with intellectual stuff that nobody understood. It was quite funny.
All right, here we go. Question number three.
This is for the win.
What active NFL QB won the Mountain West title game, MVP, in 2013?
Oh. No, he's not Mountain West, so I'm just going to say Gardner Minshew. I don't know.
Gardner
Minshew. He was a Pac-12er.
I'm pretty sure it's Josh Allen. I can't think of anyone else who played in the Mountain West.
Joshua Allen.
Pretty sure.
I could be wrong.
Pretty sure.
It is wrong.
Wow.
You tricked me.
The answer takes you back to a tandem of Derek Carr and Davante Adams.
Yep, he won the MVP in 2013 for the Mountain West title game.
Awesome question.
Wow, it's great.
And awesome for you, Nathaniel.
Yeah, good job, Nathaniel. Stay right
you
there.
You win the Chris vs. the Fan. See, that happens. Happens
sometimes
out there.
You can back your way into
a
championship. A
lot of people think they can never win this game, but it's very winnable. And that was a good question, Scrabe.
Thank you.
In fact, when I said Josh Allen, I kind of knew it was wrong, but I just didn't have another thought.
Derek Carr, Fresno State.
Fresno State, yeah, he did.
Wow.
Very good.
I didn't realize that in 2016 they played Wyoming. San Diego State did.
Yes, Josh Allen was in that game.
Oh, okay.
And Rashad Penny, I believe, was the star.
He was. And DeMonte KZ was also the defensive MVP. I believe he's playing for the Steelers now?
That game was the rematch of a game that had happened about a month earlier. Allen beat the Aztecs.
Yes, I remember this.
And then they both qualified for the championship and played each other again. And the Aztecs got the
I didn't realize they won the Mountain West back-to-back 27-24 both times.
Against Air Force
yep.
and then Wyoming. Yeah,
Christian Chapman, the MVP of that.
Christian Chapman was, he was, you know, he just handed off to DJ Pumphrey and Rashad Penny, but had a great game in the championship that year. I believe he was from San Diego kid, Carlsbad maybe. High school.
Christian Chapman. I know when we went there the last time to broadcast from Carlsbad, he was a coach at Carlsbad.
I think he played.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. No, that was, Brady Hoke and then Rocky, they had some good teams. I mean, people, you know, want to say, well, they didn't throw the ball all over.
They didn't, but they were good.
What was the matter with that?
Yeah.
They still whipped winning. People.
Remember, it was like that's what the discussion became is how do we get, you know, the type of offense that is a little more explosive because on the rare occasion at a time where teams would stop the run, we had a hard time moving the ball down the field.
Yeah, but teams really didn't stop the run very often.
No, they didn't.
I mean, you had Ronnie Hillman first, rest in peace, Ronnie.
Yeah.
And then you had DJ, and then you had Penny.
Yeah.
And I mean, Ted used to have the great calls on some of those runs. Because they would break through the line at the 20-yard line, and Ted would start going, run, Ronnie, run! And he would just take off, and they couldn't catch him. They had a lot of big plays in the running game.
Yeah, for sure.
That Rashad Penny year, his senior year, I was working on the Aztecs radio broadcast. That was a fun year, because he was putting up 200 yards every single game, returning kicks against Arizona State, beating Stanford at home.
I mean, that run of running backs, though, was...
Good run.
Really good run.
Run.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Some good offensive linemen helped out. All right. So a win for Nathaniel in the Chris versus the Fans. Good for him today.
Yeah.
Don't forget, coming up at 5:30, we will announce today's biggest fan. More prizes will be handed out here. If you're the biggest fan, you will qualify for a chance to win 20 tickets for you and your buddies. For a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padres game, you get 20 tickets, and that's a Padre game later this year. If you have not registered your name, please do so, 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. That announcement coming shortly after 5:30 on today's winner. How's traffic doing, Scrabe?
Doing very well.
Let's have it.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it again. You know, we've gone about 2 hours plus and have talked very little about this upcoming weekend. The Super Bowl.
What's going on? Oh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's got here.
We did a few prop bets.
Did a few prop bets.
That's really it.
But that's
yeah.
it. Yeah, it hasn't been a lot of conversation. And it hasn't felt like Super Bowl weekend. I don't know if that's because the NBA has kind of taken the stage from them this week, but... nonetheless, the game is happening this Sunday.
Here's my theory about this.
What's your
I thought
theory?
A lot about it because yesterday we talked about war or perceived doesn't care about the Super Bowl. And someone said the 2 weeks in between. Well, it's always been like that. Could it be that we have so much news now that by the second week we just don't care about the news? We just want to get to the game.
It's flooded out.
But that's the same every week, too.
But before social media and before that, it was like you had to go to ESPN to get those clips. And so during the week, you were watching to see that stuff. But now we can get it like that.
I think maybe there is, you know, our brains are trained to it being different. But, I mean, social media has been here the last, I don't know, however many Super Bowls.
Too long.
I don't know. I don't, it just feels different this year. I don't know. Maybe it's not.
No, it is. It's different. But we still have to pick the winner of the game.
Yeah, we do.
So
it's time for Tony and Chris to face off. Playing for a season-long prize of pride.
I see pride. I see power.
The guys make their picks. And then they stress over their picks all weekend.
No! Please, no! No! No!
Quinn and Chris, NFL Pick'em starts now.
All right, Scraby is in on this for the playoffs, and he's leading the competition. Scraby is 9-3 on playoff games. Very good.
Even a squirrel finds a nut.
28 points.
I was thinking the same thing. Just thinking the same thing.
In our scoring system, you got 28 points. Tony's 8-4 and has 27 points. So it's a 1-point spread. I don't think we need to discuss my record in the playoffs. Wow. 3-9.
Ooh. Pick'em has not been your game this year.
Not this year. Tony crushed me in the regular season, too. But, alas, we will try to pick the winner of the Super Bowl with 5 points at stake. I guess I'll just go first since you guys are the ones really in contention.
Okay.
I do think that the Eagles have a better team. They have a slightly better, you know, on the offensive and defensive lines. I think their two receivers are more productive than Kansas City's bunch of six receivers or five. I think running back is not even close. Quarterback advantage KC, but not by much. Philadelphia has a little better team, but Kansas City always wins, and I just want that to change one time. So I'm gonna pick the Eagles. I think it's going to come down to really one thing and one thing only, and this is such a simple thing to say. But if you look at the way the playoffs have gone this year, the winning team never turns the ball over, and the losing team always has two or three turnovers. It's happened in almost every playoff game this entire year. Name the game, the turnovers have been one-sided in favor of the team that's won. Now, this game, the Eagles have not turned it over yet in the playoffs.
Wow.
The Chiefs had an eight-game run before one turnover against Buffalo.
Yep.
So neither of these teams ever give the ball away. But somebody will on Sunday, and that, I think, will make the difference. For fun, I'll take the Eagles 22, the Chiefs 16, a couple of field goals, two-point conversion, low-scoring game, lower than people expect. Tony, you're in second place, so you get the next pick.
Well, I want to see greatness.
I love greatness.
Why are you such a...
I love greatness.
What a buzzkill. Really unbelievable.
Well, because I knew he was going to say that.
I want to see greatness.
Well, that's what everybody who wants the Chiefs is saying.
I want to see greatness, Patrick Mahomes. Although, listen, I think if he wins this, he still is not the GOAT.
Really? Still,
yeah, no, I don't believe so.
Not yet.
Not even Tom won four and five.
I think what...
Or three and
what
four.
Tom did what, three and five. What,
sorry.
Tom, what Tom did was amazing. And it was amazing because he had the short run, and then he didn't get back for about like 8 years.
And then he just put another run together.
And then he put another run together.
And then he went to another team and won again.
And won again. So as much as I think this run is unprecedented, I don't think he surpasses Tom Brady. But that being said, I would love to see the first ever three-peat in the NFL.
Okay.
I've always been a big Andy Reid fan, even when he was with the Eagles. And to see him having the success that he's having now, I mean, in 2 years, he very well could be the most winningest football coach ever. I want this to contribute to that resume because I remember the time he was getting his back kicked in after every one of those, NFC title games that he couldn't win. And then he gets Super Bowl, he loses that. They were kicking his back in. And so guess what? He is now getting the last laugh. Keep getting it, Andy. Chiefs.
Score?
35-29.
Whoa. Oh, okay, good game. Close game.
Good.
I would like to point out first that Chris always complains about people who pick the score on the TV.
Yes, we do it.
When they pick ridiculous scores like 22-16, he absolutely hates that, but then he doesn't.
Complete waste of time.
I think everybody knows I'm going to be picking the Eagles just because I don't want to see the Chiefs win again. I think they win 24-21.
What Chiefs, a boring baby. Score that is.
I know, Chiefs, it's not 23.2 points. Like, Cynthia Freeland's score is probably 27.4. Nah.
Cynthia. Yeah.
Even though he just pulled a Cynthia. We haven't seen Cynthia Freeland on the TV.
Haven't missed her either.
Yeah, you guys.
I've missed her.
Haven't missed her at all.
I think she's good.
What do you think the difference in the game, just for your shape, Tony? Mahomes just finds a way, or is there an advantage you see the Chiefs having anywhere?
I don't see an advantage the Chiefs has other than their experience.
Right.
But in this, I mean, Eagles were just there 2 years ago, so, I mean, a lot of these guys were on the team. I don't know that there's, you know, a big experience gap, but when you've been in it as many times as Patrick Mahomes has been in it, I just think they find a way.
It's unbelievable. You do. I would say one place I think the Chiefs have a big advantage is on the sideline. Sirianni, for all of whatever he does, still doesn't quite look like he has it all figured out. While Andy Reid is standing across there as confident as a rock of Gibraltar,
and
not moving over there.
Gibraltar.
Gibraltar's like an ancient city.
Never heard of the Rock of Gibraltar?
Never
heard
of the
Rock of Gibraltar.
All right, we'll look it up.
Well, I will say this. One of the things that you were picking the kickers yesterday?
I did.
Yeah.
I think Chiefs do have an advantage.
Yeah, the Philadelphia guy's a little...
He's a little...
little dicey.
Little dicey.
An article I read earlier today said that Harrison Butker, ever since he returned from injury, has not been good. Like, he's missed more, maybe not more field goals than he's made, but his
It's hard to believe he'll miss one Sunday. He just
he doesn't miss. He doesn't miss.
No, Scrappy, what do you have turning the tide for the Eagles, other than that you just want them to win?
I feel like Saquon Barkley, after all the bad things that have happened to him in his career, he's having a great year, and this would be the way to finish off a great year. Don't know we'll ever see Saquon Barkley do this again, but he's had such an amazing career or year that I want to see him win it.
There has to be one guy on earth who just does not want to see him do anything.
His name is the
Giants GM.
John Mara and Joe Shane.
Somebody said it last night in the NFL honors when he won. When they were introducing the finalists, if you saw, they had a teammate go up on stage.
I didn't watch it because it was tape
delayed. Oh, right. They had a teammate go up on stage and introduce the finalists. So, you know, one guy said, hey, my teammate is Josh Allen. He does this, that, and the other. I think he should win MVP. And then the next guy said, my teammate is Saquon Barkley, and I think this, that, and the other. And thank you to the Giants for, you know, bringing him to us. I mean, he got it in there that the Giants had something to do.
If you play for the Eagles and Eagles fan, this is like red meat for you right there.
Oh, yeah.
Please take a shot at the Giants as much as you can.
I have one other X factor, because I remember when we went to the Super Bowl Radio Row in Minnesota, I believe it was Tony Gonzalez, don't quote me on this, but he sat down with us and he was saying that the more a team goes to the Super Bowl, the more complacent you get because you've won, you've been there.
Well, that's,
it's not as...
That's Tony's experience. He only went like...
Oh, that's what he made. That was his analysis.
Yeah, well, that's a poor analysis.
The Chiefs have gone five out of the last 6 years. Don't you get tired of that?
That's why it doesn't apply to them.
I think that's not as important as winning your first.
I think the three-peat is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
And that they've been using that since the end of last season.
I can get behind the three-peat being a big deal. But he told us it's been...
because they're there.
When the Patriots were playing the Eagles, so that's why he said it. Because the Patriots keep going back, and then look who lost the game.
Big Five's coming up next with Gwynn and Chris. Hello, hello, 435. Chris, hello. Tony.
Hello, 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 hello.
Sasan? Scraby over there. He's got the Chronicles coming up at 6 o'clock.
Hello, 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 hello.
Yes, sir. We are here. And
hello.
Okay. At the point.
That was live on the air, everybody.
Aztecs play at Colorado State tomorrow night. I don't want to say must win. They all feel that way a little bit right now, as Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology still has the Aztecs as last four into the tournament. No room for error.
Oh, man. Does that mean their first four? You know, they have to play the first four?
Yes. He has them playing in the first four against Vanderbilt. If it started... You know, today. But Colorado State, that's a tough game.
What's the spread?
Haven't seen the spread.
Okay.
So, can't give you that, but I can give you some traffic before Scraby takes us into today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the Big Five. First, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Now, you may think on a day like today,
number five,
I would start with Connor Joe, or maybe even start with the fact that Stephen Wilson has been DFA'd by the White Sox. But I'm not going to do either of those things, guys. I'm going to ask you about Deebo Samuel to start off the Big Five today.
Why wouldn't you if there's anything remotely close to 49er news?
Well, I meant to bring this up in the 30 mile zone yesterday, but I forgot, so I wanted to bring it up today. But Deebo has angered some 49ers fans, but for the record, he has not angered me. because he was wearing an Eagles jersey around New Orleans this week. Some are pretty upset, and some say this is a loser move. His reasoning for wearing the jersey is that he hates the Chiefs because they keep beating him in the Super Bowl, so he's cheering for the Eagles. Chris, any problems with Debo wearing a rival team's jersey?
A little.
Interesting.
It's not a good look. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I just don't think Debo should be. I mean, would you honestly want to see Manny walking around in a Rockies jersey?
I would think. No, I think I mean, he's walking around weird. In a Dodgers jersey.
Well, I that's the obvious one. But I'm just saying, even any jersey, it just seems kind of weird. Manny,
because the Eagles are an NFC
Manny,
foe.
Why are you wearing a Mets jersey? It just.
Or giant. Yeah.
Anything. It seems like it's out of left field.
That
so.
Is. When you put it like that, that is a little off putting.
Yeah, well, Debo is a little off putting. So that's not surprising. But yeah, I'm going to give it a thumbs down.
There's so many videos of him walking around and him just hating on the Chiefs, and I love it. Tony, any problems with Debo wearing a rival team jersey?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, wow.
I know as a back in the day when I did play, I never like wore any team-issued things outside of
team activity
or like working out. And I definitely wouldn't get caught wearing another team's anything. I don't know. Maybe that's just...
That's interesting. I didn't expect you guys to say
this. I think
I
should show up tomorrow to broadcast a game wearing a Boise State shirt.
What is
that's
that?
That's my phone.
Oh. Quiet. It's not me this time.
Quiet.
I can't...
Makes no sense.
It would be weird to show you. Up like... Yeah. In a Giants uniform or a team I'd never played for. Like, that seems weird to me. Even I can use my mouth to say how much I want the Eagles to win and the Chiefs
just
to lose.
Tell everybody.
I don't need to rock a jersey.
Maybe I should feel
you just
some
like
type
the
way.
Fact that he's walking around
hating
talking about
the Chiefs. Yeah, because he feels like we all feel like the 49ers nation. Yeah.
Well, you guys blew it. This is different.
Oh, we did twice.
Number four.
First time it was Jimmy G. Second time it was Christian McCaffrey.
Stop it.
Move on.
Something
buddy.
I was very surprised to see last night during the tape delayed NFL honors show was the outrage Eli Manning did not make the outrage that Eli Manning did not make the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. He's won those two Super Bowls, of course, but I'm not sure that that means that he's an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer. Tony, do you think he was snubbed?
No. I think this is kind of a silly question. For I do think that Eli will eventually be a Hall of Famer. And I think he's a Hall of Famer. But I don't... If we're having debate, then you're not a first... If we don't say his name and immediately, like, oh yeah, first ballot, then you're not a first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there's any discussion at all, then there shouldn't be outrage. And there may not be outrage, Scrape. I know you like that word.
No, I've seen a couple people, like...
There it is.
But when I say
a couple people,
I meant like New York reporters and people that have like
I get
some
it. He won
sort
two Super Bowls, but even in those years, it wasn't like
he wasn't dominant.
Yeah, it wasn't like he lit the statistics.
I think
up.
They were 9-7 each year they made the Super Bowl.
He had some incredible playoff runs, which makes him worthy of being a Hall of Famer. But I don't know what the scuttle is about. Him not being a first ballot.
Yeah, it's crazy. Chris, what do you think? Should he have been a first ballot?
No. Career regular season record for Eli Manning. What do you think? Winning record or losing?
I'd say 500.
Right on it, Tony.
Right on it.
117 wins, 117
wow.
losses. That's not a Hall of Fame performance.
No.
Also, people say, well, he was a great playoff quarterback. Not really. He was twice. Every other year he was in the playoffs, he got bounced out immediately in the first round. He never won a playoff game other than the 2 years that they were able to make it all the way. So I think I agree with Tony. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but not yet. And even he said he was fine.
Yeah, he's all right with it. Everybody else was irritated. It's not him.
Yeah, he gets it. He's not, you know, if everybody won two Super Bowls, Jim Plunkett should have been a long time ago. And Trent Dilfer would be halfway there. Because he won one.
Yeah, it's very interesting how people get so upset about things that the person themselves isn't even upset about.
You know, people just like to be upset.
Yeah. Number three. I'm one of those people. Rays paying Ha-Seong Kim $29 million over 2 years was shocking to everyone, you're not wrong for feeling that way. According to Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times, Kim's contract was, quote, the second largest the Rays have ever given a free agent position player behind Greg Vaughn's $34 million four-year contract in December of 1999. Chris, in the day and age of us talking about teams spending too much or spending too little, is this unacceptable?
What, that the Rays have not spent more than that?
The first contract since 1999 that they've spent... Well,
is it unacceptable?
Is it unacceptable for the Rays to go 26 years without signing someone for over $29 million?
It's all right with me. I don't care what the Rays do, personally. Well, they're a lousy market, lousy everything, except for, you know, organizationally, they've done pretty well in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, consider that they have to compete the Yankees, Red Sox every year.
Yeah.
Two of the biggest markets. The way Tampa Bay's gone about doing things has worked out pretty well. So I'm not gonna look the gift horse in the mouth there.
Tony, is this unacceptable?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we've all been conditioned to think that, you know, all of these smaller market teams can't do it. They just can't. They can't pay this kind of money. No, they can't do it.
$29 million.
I think that's a bunch of hogwash. I think they can. And the thing about Tampa that I think lets them off the hook is they've been able to be competitive without doing it. I don't have a problem as long as you can compete and have a shot. But for those who just like are doing the same thing and they're not able to produce in the way Tampa has, I know they had a damn year last year, but it seems like all the years prior, they're like right there. That's what you should be able to at least hang your hat on. So to answer your question, maybe not for Tampa is it ridiculous. But for these other teams that aren't doing what Tampa
aren't
does,
competing.
They don't get that same leeway.
All right. Number two. The Canelo Alvarez and Jake Paul fight is going to have to wait after Canelo dropped out so he can sign a four-fight deal with the Saudi Arabian-based Riyadh season.
This close to getting that big bag.
Jake Paul wrote on X, quote, he uses a word that I wouldn't have used, but we'll read it. Canelo Alvarez ducked me, Jake Paul, and is now an owned slave with no regard of the pride of the Mexican people who support him on U.S. soil. It's not surprising when his whole career he has done nothing for the sport of boxing outside the ring. He went on to say that Jake Paul is the new face of boxing and that he is not owned by anyone.
He's not.
And then he goes on, Jake Paul went on to say, you cannot have the biggest fight of 2025 without my name involved.
Wow.
When all of your events tank and lose money, you will all realize who the king of the sport is.
Wow.
It's pretty,
See,
this is entertainment value,
this
right?
This is what Mike Cronin was talking about.
Mick Cronin?
Mick Cronin.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he was talking about.
Delusional?
Delusional.
Here, yeah. Okay.
This is straight out of that page.
So I want to go back to this quote, and we're going to focus on this part of the quote. You cannot have the biggest fight of 2025 without my name involved. Tony, is Jake Paul right?
No, he's not right.
I would argue that maybe.
In terms of what?
Popularity, people tuning in. I mean, look at the Netflix thing.
People were tuning in because they had nothing else to compare it to.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say that he wouldn't draw big numbers. I think he's proven that he can do that. But in terms of how everybody feels after the fight is over, everybody's disappointed.
It's just a bunch of dancing around.
It's not a real fight. And quite frankly, I almost wish that Canelo would have just taken a fight so he could have beat his brains in and then we didn't have to have this conversation no more. But I think Canelo thought... got to that finish, like, because it sounded like it was at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, it was.
And decided, you know what? I bet you my fan support, especially the Hispanic fan support, the Mexican culture of boxing, would much rather see him fight a real fighter versus
Jake Paul. Be a sideshow, kind of.
And listen, I give Jake Paul a lot of credit. He actually has turned himself into what looks like a real boxer. But until he actually fights, not a 60-year-old Mike Tyson or 50-plus-year-old Mike Tyson.
Did he fight Nate Robinson one time?
He fought Nate Robinson. Shout out to Nate Robinson getting a kidney, finally.
Oh, but nice.
He's going in today. I would say, no, he's not the biggest name in boxing.
All right, Chris. Jake Paul said, you cannot have the biggest fight of 2025 without my name involved. Is he right?
He would be right if he could fight Dan Hurley.
So we're doing celebrity boxing. I mean, no, that is celebrity boxing.
No, the two guys think that they're the greatest thing in the world. Dan Hurley told the referee, how can you walk away from me
when I am by far the
greatest bleeping coach there is in the country? That kind of behavior annoys me and most people. I think Jake Paul, I don't know. What can I tell about Jake Paul? He danced around and tapped Mike Tyson for 20 minutes and wasted my life.
He let us watch it for free at that point.
But I think Canelo, my guess is that he realized he had nothing to gain here.
Right.
If he wins, everyone's going to say, well, you're a real boxer and the other guy's not. If you lose, it's going to really look bad.
It's embarrassing.
Embarrassing. So I that's why he didn't want to fight this guy, I would think.
That's a great point, because part of his hang-up with fighting Crawford was that he was in a smaller weight class, and that if he won the fight, he was supposed to win the fight. If he lost the fight, it'd be embarrassing. So now you're weighing which one could be more hurtful to my career if
the
I lost.
The fake fight.
The fake fight. By all, Terrence Crawford is a pound for pound one of the best to ever do it. And so I think if he lost that one, and by the way, Canelo has like 80 fights, something like that.
He's like 70. Over 60 wins.
Yes. So, yeah, I think he realized there was much more to lose fighting and less to gain fighting Jake Paul than there was the other way around fighting Terrence Crawford. And he gets a 4-fight deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't be talking all that trash about another, calling him a slave and no pride for the Mexican people. Like, those are some fighting words.
The good, beautiful thing about boxing is those guys are used to dudes being showmen and trying to sell
fights.
Yeah,
that's true.
So they can just brush
Jake
it off.
Jake Paul's like 50 years later.
I honestly think Canelo would, when I say it would be, he wouldn't win a round, I don't think.
I would pay to watch that fight.
Right.
Just to see Jake Paul get beat up.
But
number one,
I think that's Jake's point.
Yeah.
Is that
people would do that to see him get beat up.
Tune in to see him get beat up.
All right. Impromptu sports court here. A UMass student thought he won $10,000 during a halftime contest at a women's basketball game, only to find out he wasn't going to get the money over a technicality. UMass play-by-play announcer Josh Schreiber posted on X that his friend Noah Lee had won the halftime competition, which involved hitting a layup, a free throw, and a three-pointer, and a half-court shot in under 30 seconds. So this guy did it. He did it. Under 30 seconds.
Where's the catch?
The school notified Noah the promotion company won't pay out because his foot was on the half-court line when he made the shot and not behind the line. Noah said he is disappointed but is accepting his fate, which is nice of him, I guess. No rules are really written against the foot being on the line, so people think he should get the money. Chris, what is your ruling?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think if the toe is on the line, not over the line. Now, if it's half over the line, I think
I'm
going to
rule. Let's just assume that there is some of his foot over the line. Maybe not a lot. Because you can't tell by the pictures where his foot is.
Okay, well, I'm going to need to know that before I. But I'm going to say, yeah, he's got to be at least on the line. Over the line, it's fair enough to say that he didn't quite make a half-court shot, and that's on him.
Okay.
If you go to shoot a three-pointer but step on the line,
true.
You can't tell the ref, well, I meant it to be a three.
It was supposed to be a three.
No, it's only good for two. So that's my ruling. If you're on the line, I'll give it to you. But over, no.
Tony?
Tony,
yes.
What is your ruling?
I agree with Chris. Toe on the line, cool. Toe over the line, not so cool. I do have an update. This is how great our listeners are.
Yeah, I see this update, too. I didn't see this earlier.
UMass is going to pay the kid directly. Their men's basketball coach even asked for his information, so it seemed like he was going to give him the money, too. So,
wow. On the chat, they're saying there's another video out that I haven't seen yet that clearly shows he stepped over. If that's the case, then...
Sounds like it's going to happen. And remember, this isn't the university that's not paying it out.
No, it's the promotion company.
But I think UMass may be the one that looks bad in this because, you know...
We've had these instances before where a promotion company won't pay and then the school ends up having to pay because everybody hates them because they didn't get their money.
Exactly. There are a lot of half-court shooting contests. I mean, somebody had to put together an actual
rule book.
Yeah, rules of how this is going to get paid out. So this doesn't happen.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, the Padres...
That was a strong finish, Greg.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Thank you. Padres reportedly have signed an outfielder and an infielder, I guess. We'll tell you a utility man when we get... I'll tell you who when we get back. Or they'll tell you.
You've confused everybody beyond...
All right, let me start this over. When we get back, the Padres reportedly signed a player. We'll talk about it on the other side.